Well, here we are celebrating 30 years of Bayside Church. How amazing is that? And I've been kind of reflecting back a little bit on the calling of God to pastoral ministry that happened in 1984. In 1988, God told me by His Spirit that I would be pioneering a church in the Cheltenham area, the Bayside area of Melbourne. And then five prophetic words, late 91, early 92, that God was ready to launch me. And so prayed for by my then senior pastor, released into pioneering Bayside Church with a small team. And here we are. That was the third Sunday of March, 1992. Christy and I met that year, and in 94 we got married. And just been a wonderful journey, been lots of highs, lots of lows, of course, a lot of challenges, and some really amazing times. But the most incredible thing of all is watching the lives of precious people changed and transformed by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, and by His precious word. And so here we are in the third weekend of March 2022, still going strong. And I'm looking forward to sharing the word with you today. If you want to follow this in your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 20. And I'm going to read this parable to you, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "But you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last. And that's a mic drop moment for Jesus there with that last statement that I'll get to a little bit later. The usual title of this parable is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. But this assumes that the workers are actually the focus of Jesus' story. It's a little bit like when we call, you know, in Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Same deal. The prodigal or wasteful son is actually not the focus of the story. The focus of the story is the loving, kind, incredibly gracious Father. So that really should be called the parable of the loving Father. The focus of this parable is the owner of the vineyard. And so I like the title, the parable of the compassionate employer. This man shows incredible grace, compassion, and sensitivity throughout the day for the unemployed. He is kind and he is generous and he's misunderstood, as is often the case with the kind and the generous. Christy and I have been to Africa several times, and one of the things that strikes me whenever I go to Africa is the scene that is talked about in this parable. You see men, laborers, standing on the side of the road, and they're living in hope. They hope that this will be the day that they're picked up by somebody who will employ them at least for the day. And some of them are successful. They all pile onto the back of these utes. So many people on one ute, and off they go, and they've got a day's work. It's a humiliating experience, and it's an experience of desperation. The questions that would be in their mind, something like this: will I get work today? Will I be able to feed my wife and my children? Or will I return home penniless and ashamed to the hungry faces of my family? And so many of these men in the parable stay in the marketplace, hoping against hope all day. And in our story, the ones who stay get rewarded. The parable includes five groups of workers. Group number one are employed in what the Jews would refer to as the first hour of the day. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, around sunrise. Group two were employed at 9 a.m., group three at midday, group four at 3 p.m., and then group five were employed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 hour before the last day, the last hour, or the knockoff time, which was around sunset. And so 5 to 6 p.m. It was a 12-hour working day. The going rate was a denarius, the usual daily wage for a labourer. A denarius in our currency in Australia today would be around 60 bucks. So not a great daily wage. Those employed at sunrise would work hard throughout the day, particularly through the heat of the day, hoping to be hired for a second day or maybe longer. The landowner travels four more times to the marketplace to reward the raw courage of those who remained there hopeful for work. Most labourers would normally leave by midday, having given up hope. But others stayed. They were standing firm in hope, eager and able to work, and not amongst those who give up. They are those who stay. We will stand here until the light fades and go home in the dark if we have to. Many of you have proven to be people of Christ-like character in exactly the same way. You have amazing stickability. The owner doesn't offer them charity. He's interested in giving them a hand up, not a hand out. By day's end, there are five groups of workers. Only group one had a verbal contract. The Bible tells us in this parable that the landowner agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Groups two, three, and four had a promise: I will pay you whatever is right. Group five was only offered work. There was no mention of pay for these guys. They had 1 hour of work. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." And so there's a question here. I wonder why the master instructs the foreman to pay the last group first. I mean, think about this for a moment. If he'd done it the other way around, no one would have complained. Everyone would have been happy. If he'd paid group one first, they were promised a denarius. So they would have all got one of those coins and they would have all left. And then group two would have got a denarius and left. Group three, group four, group five. And so everyone would have been happy. But there's a specific thing here in the Bible that mentions that the last were to be paid first. And so another question: I wonder why the landowner decided to deliberately upset people. I'll tell you the answer to that in just a moment. I want you to imagine the rising anger of group one. Like, so group five were paid first, and each of them received a denarius, and everyone, the other four groups, are amazed. It's like, oh my goodness, we must be in for something more, because they only work for an hour. But then group four get a denarius, and then group three get the same, and same as group two. And by the time it comes to group one, these guys, the anger level has risen, and they're fuming, and when they get the same, they're completely ticked off. You see, equal pay for equal work is not the focus of Jesus' parable. This story has to do with the overpaid, not the underpaid. In fact, no one in this story is underpaid. This story focuses on an equation filled with amazing grace, which is resented by those who feel that they have earned their way to more. The complaint from group one reveals the deep prejudice in their hearts. And I quote from this parable, "You have made them equal to us." Their words echo with the same intensity as the older brother in the prodigal son story who just couldn't stand the extreme grace showered by the loving father on his wasteful son. Or the words of Judas when Mary poured expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. "Why this waste?" he cried. Judas, the treasurer, the thief. The sad fact is some people find grace infuriating. There's a wonderful book by Kenneth E. Bailey. It's called Jesus Through Mediterranean Eyes. And I want to read you his paraphrase of the master's thinking and words in this parable. "You have no complaint. Justice is served. I have given you what I agreed to pay you. You are free to do what you like with what is yours, and I am free to do what I like with what is mine. I chose to pay these men a living wage. You'll be able to go home to your wives and children and proudly announce that you found work and have a full day's pay. I want these other men to be able to walk into the doors of their houses with the same joy in their hearts and the same money in their pockets. I want their children and wives to be as proud of them as yours are of you. So you worked through the heat of the day, did you? That's fine. And what do you think I was doing during the heat of the day? Enjoying a traditional siesta? I was on the road to and from the market, trying to demonstrate compassion to others who, like you, are in need of employment. I could have sent my manager to do this. I didn't. I went myself to demonstrate solidarity with the men and help alleviate their suffering. Why are you jealous of them and angry at me? You must understand that I am not only just, I am also merciful and compassionate, because mercy and compassion are part of justice. On what basis should the grace I show others irritate you? It appears that you do not care whether or not you can preserve their self-worth or feed their families. You want to take more for yourselves. I have chosen to give more of myself. You want to be richer at the end of the day. I have chosen to be poorer at the end of the day. Don't try to control me. Take your just wage and get out." What a magnificent paraphrase that is from Kenneth E. Bailey. And so I wonder what the take-home truth of this parable is. I'll tell you. The all-day workers are the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They are the people who have kept the laws of God all of their lives. And then Jesus comes along and spends time with tax collectors and sinners and other undesirables and extends them precisely the same level of grace. He says, "They are equal to you." And the Pharisees don't like it. Sadly, I've come across many Christians like this in 30 years of Bayside Church. They're good people, Jesus-loving people, that find it too much when amazing grace, the amazing grace that they have received themselves, is extended to others whom they deem as unworthy. And the same words echo through 2,000 years of church history. "You have made them equal to us." And Jesus says, "Yes, that's right. I have. In Christ, everyone is equal to you. So get used to it." I wonder how the Apostle Peter and some of the other apostles would have felt about this. Peter was the second disciple called by Jesus. His brother Andrew was the first. We don't know much about Andrew. Andrew found Jesus, or actually Jesus found Andrew. And then Andrew went to Peter and said, I think we found the Messiah. And he was so excited and introduced Peter to Jesus. And Peter started following Jesus at that point, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so he went through 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, ministering with Jesus, learning, making mistakes, picking himself up again, all of that kind of stuff. Compare that to the thief on the cross, the guy who'd lived a really, really bad life. And here he is hung on one side of Jesus, another thief on the other, crucified together. And they start mocking. Well, one of them starts mocking Jesus, and then the other thief says, hey, come on, we deserve to be here. This guy doesn't. And then he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him those immortal words, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Wow. Wonder how the rest of the disciples felt about that, because that day, that guy made it to heaven. The other disciples had to keep working and ministering, and all except for John ended up getting martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Think about it. That thief on the cross made it to heaven well before Peter and the others. That's why Jesus says the last will be first and the first will be last. I want to honour those at Bayside Church who have stood with us, those who have laboured and not given up. There are people who have been part of Bayside Church for the entire 30 years, people who walked in on day one when we were meeting at the funeral parlour in Cheltenham, and they're still with us. Others joined Bayside Church back in the 90s when we were in the Cheltenham Primary School and the Mentone Girls Secondary College. Others have been part of this church since we moved into the Bayside Centre in Cheltenham over 2 decades. And I want to honour you and I want to thank you for your faithfulness. Some of you are new to Bayside Church. Welcome. But whether you've been part of this church for decades or years or months or weeks, we are all equal in Jesus Christ. And my hope is that we will continue serving Jesus together well into the future. Amen.